Well, happy Monday morning to everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the Car Guru, and I am so glad to be with you this morning. I am holding in my hands the keys to something I've been waiting on for some time. You know, when I heard rumors about Ford coming out with an all-new small truck, I said, what? I was just kind of surprised. I just did not think about, you know, whether there would be a market for that. I knew how ludicrous it seemed for them to talk about a full-size truck and a mid-size truck. I mean, that's all you ever hear is the, you know, the Tacoma is a mid-size truck, the Colorado is a mid-size truck, but there was no such thing as a small truck. Well, now there is. Matter of fact, there's two. Hyundai came out with kind of a truck. It's called the Santa Cruz, and I saw one at Publix the other day. A lady jumped out of it and complimented her on her new truck, and she said, "Oh, I just love it." And you know, it's kind of more modern looking, I guess, swoopy, a lot of curvy lines, and looks kind of like a SUV on the front. The Maverick is different, the 22 Maverick that we just got in. I took pictures of it, put it on Facebook. You know, if you want to, I'm not going to sell this one for a while. I'm not even taking deposits on it. We are in the process of transitioning from, be careful what you say now, Lenny, transitioning from being a heavy inventory dealer, just like every other Ford dealer is going to have to be, to a more of a smaller inventories and much more ordering. I think this is where the industry is going. Now, how long will that last? Your guess is as good as mine. You know, when they have to keep the factories open, you know, they've got to make money, then typically they will crank up the volume and let the dealers be the ones that get stuck with the inventory. And then they start cranking out big incentives and so forth. I think what the manufacturers have figured out, folks, and you may not like this. I guess some of you will like it because there will be less negotiation in the process or no negotiation. The problem that we see right now in the industry is gouging, price gouging, where dealers are charging multiples of thousands over the window sticker for vehicles. Now, I understand why they would need to. You know, being a dealer, our inventories have been minimized to a dangerous low level. And so, you know, when you sell a particular vehicle, you don't know when you're going to get another one because it's sitting in a parking lot in Michigan waiting on a chip. So a lot of that's going on. But I guess that same kind of thing's going on in the building industry with building supplies. It's going on in the, you know, for appliances and refrigerators and stoves and stuff like that. I've talked to multiple people who are remodeling or building a new house and they can't get appliances. So, and the appliances that they are getting are pretty expensive. Food is getting more expensive. Everything is. We've got a new 22 Ford Maverick in stock, and I would encourage you to come down to Gateway and test drive it. Again, I'm not going to sell it. I'm going to, as hard as it is not to sell something, my salespeople are disappointed. We do have this one for demo rides and for people to order one from, because if you want a Maverick anytime soon, you're going to have to order it to get it. There is not going to be any dealer inventory, especially if you want one that is the base model. Now, you would think that the base model would not be the one that everybody wants, but in this case it is, because the vehicle will get 42 miles to the gallon in the city and 35 on the highway. That does seem backwards, doesn't it? Well, it's a hybrid, and it's a very efficient hybrid, which means that it has a battery on it and an electric motor. And that electric motor and battery allows it to get tremendous fuel economy around town because there's more stop and go engine is not on as much. Now, I've been driving my F-150 for some time now, called the Power Boost, and it is also a hybrid, and it stays in hybrid about, I'm going to say 30 to, well, I haven't driven around town that much. It could stay in hybrid a lot more, but my experience is about 30% of the time. It's running on full battery power. And plus, if my power goes down at the house, I can plug it in and power my refrigerator and keep my ice cream frozen, which is very important, and my milk cold. So, but I posted the Maverick on Facebook. I took pictures of it. I said, just unloaded off the truck, the all-new 2022 Ford Maverick, a truly small truck that seats five, gets 42 miles per gallon in the city. Come see and drive it at Gateway Ford in Greenville starting tomorrow. Oh, by the way, it starts at just $19,995. We are currently taking orders with delivery in just a few months. Your color, your equipment, built just for you. Now, doesn't that sound nice? No pressure. $19,995, you really can't buy it for that, though. I should have said, I need to modify that. It's $19,95 plus freight, and freight is a lot more expensive than it used to be. It's $1,495. So, you know, a little over 21, you can buy a nice size 5-passenger truck with a 4.5-foot bed, a tailgate apparatus that will fold down, and you can haul 4x8 sheets of plywood in it. Now, they're going to stick out a little bit under the or beyond the tailgate, but that's pretty cool. It's got all kinds of neat little cubbies on the inside of it. To me, this would be a wonderful vehicle for a teenager that you don't want to spend a lot of money, but you want to, you know, they want a truck. Also, somebody going to college, it'd be a great first vehicle for someone. You know, put a little bed cover, a locking bed cover on that thing, and you've got a huge trunk, and that works really well. So, but it's not just for them. I think anybody that, you know, they want a truck, but they don't want to give up the fuel economy of a passenger car, this is a great alternative. I'm really proud of Ford for coming up with it, and we shall see how it's going to sell. But right now, we have mid-20s in sold orders, and if you want to go ahead and order yours, just go to GatewayFordMaverick.com, and that takes you right to the to our ordering site and building site. You can build it and then print it out and think about it and think about what you'd like, and then you can call us or you can send us a message and we'll order your Maverick for you. And at Gateway, we don't require a deposit. No, we trust you. We hope that you will order it and you will buy it when it comes in. However, if you decide not to buy it, there will be no problem selling it, I don't think. I think they are going to sell really well. So that's what's going on at Gateway. We'll take our first break and be back here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. I'm talking trucks today and the history and tradition of trucks in the United States. It goes back a long time. You know, trucks are just not a big deal at all in Europe. I guess it's probably driven by fuel prices. Also, narrow city roads. I don't know if you've ever been around some of the towns in Europe, but they have narrow streets, not even one full lane, and trucks have a hard time, or would have a hard time getting through that. You know, and there's kind of a cultural thing with pickup trucks in the United States. We've been blessed over the years with low fuel prices, except now. They're starting to go up a little bit. I heard the other day that you can buy gas in California now for $7.92 a gallon. Oh, that's regular. Premium is slightly higher. So anyway, the United States is kind of was protected for a long time from imports, small trucks. I don't know if you remember me talking about the chicken tax, but those pesky Europeans the farmers there were not happy after the war was over that we were still importing, or they were still importing, so many chickens from the United States. So European countries got together and put a big tariff on chickens. Well, Lyndon Baines Johnson did much like that, and he listened to Americans and said, well, if you're going to do that, then we're going to put a tax on, or a levy, tariff on all of your imported trucks. And so that's what happened. So there was a 25% duty imposed on imported trucks. So you may remember back in the 70s when like Chevrolet had the Love truck. Well, it was built by Isuzu. Dodge had the, I can't remember what it was called, a little Dodge truck, but it was made by Mitsubishi. Ford actually partnered with Mazda and developed the, had the Ford Courier pickup truck. But these were all imported trucks. And, you know, for a long time, the duty didn't pinch them that much. But as prices increased and the cost of producing these little trucks increased, all of those manufacturers, Ford, General Motors, all of them, they said, okay, we got to start building these little trucks in the United States. And so that's what they did. That's when Ford came out with the Ford Ranger, and Chevrolet came out with the S10. You may remember that truck. And they sold really well, and they were built in the United States, and they were a big part of our overall sales in, at my dealerships. Where, you know, we sold, we didn't sell as many small trucks as we did full-size trucks as a Chevrolet dealer or a Ford dealer, but we sold a bunch of them. And then, you know, we several companies started really taking that seriously, Toyota being one. They just kept improving the Tacoma, and the sales kept increasing. Nissan was importing their trucks, and then thank goodness they decided to build a factory in Smyrna, Tennessee, and that's where all Nissan Frontiers were built. Remember, the original one that was built there was called the Hardbody, the Nissan Hardbody pickup truck, and it was a good seller. And so today, pretty much everything is built in the United States, with the exception, because of the North American Free Trade Agreement, they were able to start building a lot of vehicles down in Mexico. And so that's where the Maverick is built, in a place called Hermosillo. I think that's how you pronounce it. And that's where they build the Maverick and the Ford Bronco Sport. The Bronco is actually built up in Michigan. And so we've got a lot of domestic production going on now. But it's good to be able to see a small truck come out that's actually a small truck. So, you know, the early days, it's kind of interesting to see how the truck actually developed. Most vehicles were sold as chassis only in the early days. The manufacturer of the vehicle just built the chassis, which is the frame, and then they put an engine and transmission in it, and the grill basically was made by one company. And then the body companies that used to be wagon companies, they would make wagons of all different shapes and sizes. They started, they had all the ability to build, you know, work with wood and metal and things like that. So they started putting their bodies on these chassis. Now, for example, you may have heard of the company called Duesenberg. Well, Duesenbergs are a very long nose, very elegant looking, you know, pontoon fenders, just huge fenders, very valuable cars. You know, a typical Duesenberg will sell for in excess of $1 million today. Now, back then, they were the most expensive cars you could buy back then, probably equivalent to a $250,000 car today. So anyway, a lot of these things were built that way, and trucks were built the same way. There was a company called the Galyon All Steel Body Company, and they were the early developer, probably the earliest developer of a pickup truck, what we would call a pickup truck, and a dump truck. And it was built, you know, for commercial use. And then they were using Model T chassis. And then from 1917 on the Model TT, which is, that's kind of interesting name. But Ford in 1925 decided, let's not let these guys, you know, rebody our vehicles. Let's build our own truck. So they did in 1925, a steel-bodied half-ton pickup truck with an adjustable tailgate and heavy-duty rear springs. And they called it the Model T Runabout. Yeah. It was pretty expensive, though. $281. $281 was probably a lot back then. And they built about 34,000 of them. And then in 1928, it was replaced by the Model A, which had a closed cab. This is the Model A truck. Had a closed cab. It had safety glass windshield. It wouldn't cut you to shreds if you had an accident. It had roll-up side windows and a three-speed manual transmission. Now, it took until 1931 for General Motors to introduce light-duty pickup trucks for both GMC and Chevrolet, and they were targeting private ownership at that point. Now, these pickups were based on an existing chassis that they had called the Chevrolet Master, and in 1940, GM introduced a dedicated light truck platform. It was separate from passenger cars, but it didn't last very long as far as the public was concerned, because something happened called World War II, and that turned all of the production of these trucks was dedicated to the military. But they got good at building them, and a lot of people wanted them after the war because the soldiers used them and saw how handy they were, especially farmers and stuff. So about that same time, Ford was offering a dedicated light-duty truck platform, and it was called the F-100. And then after, well, basically in 1948 is when they started using the F-Series designation for Ford trucks. The first F-Series was called the F-1. That makes sense. The truck body that I'm using on my project, I'm building a car hauler. I've talked about it a million times on this show, but it's actually an F4 cab. So the different sizes basically designated the cargo and towing capability of these trucks. Dodge got into the game as well. They started truck production with a company called Graham Page. And although the company did produce their own truck during World War II called the Dodge T and V and W series, they used this other company to produce the bodies for their trucks for a while until they took it over. International Harvester, recognize that name? They started making pickup trucks. So basically at the beginning of World War II, the United States pretty much halted the production of any privately owned pickup trucks, and all American manufacturers built were heavier duty versions for the war effort. But in the 50s, consumers began purchasing pickup trucks for lifestyle rather than for utility. They became more car-like. Smooth-sided, fenderless trucks were introduced. The first was the Chevrolet Fleet Side pickup truck, and then they came things like the El Camino and the Dodge Swepline was a name. And in 1957, Ford started building a purpose-built style side pickup truck. But anyway, some of the pickups began to feature some comfort items like, you know, power steering. You know, you wouldn't think that'd be a comfort item. Air conditioning, and some of the pickups actually started growing doors. So they had four doors. It was initially for commercial use, but as we know, just about every truck that's sold today has four doors and are called crew cabs still. The first extended cab truck in the United States was called the Club Cab, and that was introduced by Chrysler in 1973 on Dodge pickup trucks. But a crew cab, a double cab, you know, they basically seat five people, some cases six. Sometimes they have doors that kind of develop like a suicide door, you know, as opposed to opening like a traditional door. So you had to, I remember Chevrolet's first extended cab truck, you had to open the driver's side door in order to be able to get in, to open the small door to get into the back. And we just, you know, to this day, we still sell some what Ford calls the super cab, which is what Chevy calls the extended cab. We still sell them occasionally, but the vast majority of trucks that we sell are crew cabs, true four-door trucks. And that's really what has transformed the truck industry, the truck market, is that people now can use them as a passenger car replacement. Will we have cars in the future, just like Nissan Sentras and Honda Accords and things like that? Yeah, I think so, but very small market share. In the not-too-distant future, you're going to see more and more of a move towards utilitarian designs. I don't look forward to that. You know, automotive design is so important to me, and such a fun thing to kind of watch and see how it develops. But some of these cars, like Tesla, for example, that car design is a zero as far as I'm concerned. Now, if you drive a Tesla, I'm sure you love your Tesla, and they're great cars, but they all look alike. And to me, that's not something that's exciting. I still like my Mustangs and my Corvettes and Porsches and cars that when you see it, you know what it is and you know where it belongs in the hierarchy. But automotive design is changing, you know, for efficiency. You go to a soccer game or to a UT game or something, you look in the parking lot, all you're going to see is SUVs and crossovers. And, of course, you'll see some pickup trucks as well. Passenger cars are going bye-bye as quickly as time passes on. It's just kind of a sad thing. Well, anyway, I'll lament on my own time, and I'll be back here in just a minute. Well, one thing you don't have to worry about if you own a truck, you don't have to worry about it depreciating, at least now. We're seeing ridiculous numbers still as far as values are concerned. So that's a good thing for you if you have a 2016 or 17 or even older trucks are bringing ridiculous money. And as long as it's not, you know, worn out and in bad shape, it's the resale value is tremendous on trucks. So, you know, now is the it's probably the thing that offsets the higher prices and the lack of rebates. So if you're in the market right now and you've got a truck to trade in, do not fear, because Lenny is here. All you have to do is send me the specs on your truck. I'll tell you what it's worth in real money. Matter of fact, it's so real that I will write you a check for it. So that's pretty real. But if you don't want me to write you a check for it and you want to use it as trade, then you'll have the information that you need to be able to go out and trade, whether you want to buy some off-brand like a Honda or Toyota. I'm just kidding. I'm a Ford dealer and a Nissan dealer. I'm a little bit biased at times, but I try not to let it show too much. So if I can help you in any way, you know my number, 423-552-2020. You can send me your VIN number and the miles and the option packages that are on your vehicle and just general condition, and we may end up talking on the phone. I'll give you a pretty solid number. A matter of fact, it's so solid I'll write you a check for it, like I said, but you can take it with you to try to trade cars. And it gives you a big advantage, folks, if you know what your trade-in's worth. Keep somebody from trying to steal it. So anyway, give me a call. And this is Lenny Lawson again, the Car Guru, and I will see you tomorrow.